And yet you're both saying, don't get the defences. Right, cool. Thanks for that, lads. Absolute pleasure.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Planet FPL Clash of the Correspondents. My name's James, and today I'm joined by two of our correspondents ahead of a big fixture swing for both in game week four. Firstly, let me introduce you to our Watford correspondent, Stephen Toomey. How are you, Stephen?
Good morning or good afternoon, James. I'm doing great. Glad to be here and talk a little football.
Good man. Stephen can't get any Wi-Fi in his workplace at the moment, so he's out and about hiding under a square. For those who were at the first ever Planet FPL live show event, they might actually recognise where he is. And let me also introduce you to our Wolverhampton Wanderers correspondent, Bradley Parker. How are you, Bradley?
All right, Ben. Yeah.
Yeah, good. Very well. Thank you, Bradley. Stephen, how do you feel about Watford's start? One win, two defeats. How are you feeling about it so far?
You know, I'm okay with the 1-0 loss to Spurs. I'm not okay with the loss to Brighton. I sure hope that's not the real Watford, because they were taken apart by a team that is very average. Things looked exciting week one. You know, a couple of quick goals, a big win right off the opening weekend. But it's been a real struggle recently. And, you know, yes, I understand we're still getting new personnel in, but it's a little concerning, especially with fixtures about to turn here in a couple of weeks. And, you know, some of the matchups are going to get a little more difficult.
And Bradley, what have you made a Wolves start? Stop laughing.
Painful.
You must be, I know you obviously you're on 0 points. But you must be quietly, in a roundabouts way, quite pleased, no?
Yeah, I'm pleased about them playing and how they're going about it. I mean, to keep that up, they will score goals and somebody will get battered at some point. Somebody carve that volume of shots at goal and not play.
Stephen said, before you joined the call, Bradley, Stephen said the last time I was there, we worked out, it was obviously before they played the FA Cup final against Manchester City. And he said, I hope it ain't a similar score. You're not going to batter Watford this weekend, are you?
Probably not. We'll probably end up being 1-0 again, but maybe we win with a deflected goal or something stupid this time. That's how it works.
Let's talk a little bit about FPL assets. One of the ones I keep getting asked about, Stephen, is a backman or Brentford's David Raya. How do you feel about people possibly, particularly those on wildcard, looking at Daniel Backman at the moment?
He's shit. He is shit. And I knew that before the season started. He has no Premier League experience. Yes, he had a great run with Austria. Yes, he played great in the EFL last year, but I do not see him as a Premier League starter. He is a backup. We've got no coordination, no leadership. The defense is an absolute shambles back there. And the easy fix, well, he's injured, but throw Ben Foster in there. I don't care if he's 38. He's got charisma, he's got leadership, he's got experience, and I guarantee you that's going to solidify the back line. But right now, I avoid anybody defensively from Watford, keeper or defender.
Well, that's fairly unanimous in terms of your feelings. You'd prefer Foster to play then, genuinely?
Oh, yeah. I'm a bit of a Foster supporter, but you know, other supporters seem to think that Bachman is the future, and that's not really true. I think he's just a stopgap here for a year, maybe 2 years, and we can get Pontus Dahlberg back from the loan over in Sweden. But I just don't see it in Bachman. I don't see what others see in him to start the season. And, you know, I mean, that's witnessed by, you know, the goals we continue to give up. And again, I think it's the organization and the leadership in the back. I don't think there is any right now. There isn't. I mean, you got a bunch of young guys. You got Trustek on. You've got Seralta. I mean, they're both relatively young, inexperienced in the Premier League. Again, Bachman with no Premier League experience. Your experience is out on the wings. But, I mean, I don't really see Messina as a huge leader or Femenia, maybe just because he's one of the elder statesmen on the squad. But I think we need that coordination, that leadership and goal, which tells me that Foster is where we need to go. But that's a minority opinion.
That's really interesting. And what you talk about leadership, I wonder if that's part why Cathcart might have been playing up right back in the game so far, which I don't think we think is probably going to last. It's not a long-term solution.
Yeah. Dude, he's got two left feet. There's no reason he should be playing right back. I would rather take my chances with, the West Ham off Kasta and Gakia back there. I mean, at least we know the kid can get up and down the flank there. And, you know, yeah, he doesn't have the experience like Cathcart, but Cathcart has no business being out on the right.
Interestingly, obviously, I've had the chance to watch both of your two teams live. When we played your team, Stephen, it was obvious that Tottenham were looking for right to left diagonals to try and target to get Bergwijn one-on-one against Craig Cathcart. Actually, as soon as Ngakia came on at right back later in the game, that ball stopped. He was just naturally, I think he was more prepared for it because Cathcart's a centre back and his tendency was to kind of drift inside, which meant the ball to get out to the flank was a lot easier. And actually that stopped happening when Ngakia came on. But I think we think Femenia will eventually obviously come into the team at right back. So Truce de Kong, you would have no interest in, for example, at 4.5.
Oh, no. I think there's better options out there. I mean, there's even better options out there at 4.1 right now that we can go. And I mean, it's been like that for a couple of years when, you know, Watford was last up there. I mean, you know, their defenders look okay for a fixture here, a fixture there, but this season I just haven't seen it in the defense, which is supposed to sort of be the catalyst of the team. I mean, that is where our game is supposed to start, with a somewhat stalwart defense. And it hasn't, which has been very, very frustrating to see.
Yeah, so, you came up built on...
Hopefully that changes.
You came up built on the amazing defensive record from last year. So I think a lot of people were anticipating Backman. Where would you stand, Bradley, at the moment on 4.5 million goalkeepers if you had to go and get one?
Well, I've got Backman. I started with Backman. He got 4.8 last week. That'll do.
Have you got Ben Foster with him?
I did have.
Oh, and he's gone.
I'm on. Yeah, I put Jed Steer in case he gets.
Well, no, I think to be honest,
games and then get the.
Yeah, I think if you were going for a 4.0 on wildcard, it would only be Foster in case Stephen's potential theory is right that Backman could lose his place, or Jed Steer is almost definitely going to play for Aston Villa this weekend at Chelsea, and I guess in theory might play against Everton in game week 5 for Villa, although that's looking increasingly unlikely. But I think you probably would go with Jed Steer, actually. What about Jose Sarr, Bradley? I'm very close to getting him in as my Emi Martinez replacement, mate.
I think he's all right. I think you should have saved that Greenwood shot. The penalty against you, Dele Alli flings his body at him. That is full. That was a dotty.
I didn't say it was. I said on the podcast. I mean, to be honest, it's a penalty because... The contact's initiated, but yeah, I said on the pod, mate, he dived to initiate it. I don't have a problem with that. Some would say call it intelligent play and gamesmanship, mate. But I the one thing I felt watching him in game week 2 live was I felt like he had a presence.
Yeah, he's a lot better at getting the crosses than Patricio.
Yeah,
he's very quick to distribute as well, which is handy with Traore, because they do actually leave Traore up the pitch there, which I don't know why it's taking so long for that common sense, just to get the ball, boot it towards the corner, and Traore is going to get there.
You sound like you want long ball football, Bradley. Just boot it to Traore.
From our defensive corner. Just leave him up there.
There are worse tactics. Yeah, talk me out of it, Bradley. Talk me out of going for Sanchez instead of... I definitely ain't going for Daniel Backman now, although, to be honest, I never was. Talk me into going Sanchez over Jose Sarr.
Well, Sanchez instead of Sarr.
Yeah. Where should I be going with the money? Is it worth the 0.5 saving? Or should I be looking at those fixtures that you've got over the next 11 game weeks going, I like that. I need some of Wolves defensively.
If you really want one of our defensive options, you don't want to get a defender and goal for him. But I think he's made 11 saves so far as well, which is pretty high, I think, on top of the keepers.
Well, he's on 8 points from no clean sheets, right? Difficult games. And admittedly, these are some of the sort of fixtures where if you're not going to get battered, you would expect the odd save point to come with it, I think it's fair to say, rather than perhaps should you lose 1-0 to Watford this weekend, you may not expect the save point to come with that.
I mean, defensively, we've been a lot better than I thought we was from watching pre-season.
We haven't looked concerned. When we spoke on Correspondent Week, you said you were really concerned about how teams would counter-attack on you. Now, you've played three teams who, I guess, would want to be on the ball, but then Tottenham played the whole game, basically, on the counter-attack against you. Manchester United were forced into it, and certainly yeah. Leicester were in the second half in game week one as well. And you haven't been done badly on it.
No, surprisingly. It's not the worst on it, because pre-season it looked a bit shaky.
So you've been asked 100 times this week already, and I'm going to ask you again now. Best Wolves outfield defender, Bradley. And let's remove Semedo from the conversation for the moment, as he's more expensive. If you had to go for one of those 4.5s, where would your money go?
Probably Calder, but I can't see him leaving the team.
This is interesting, because I know you think that if a switch to a back four happens, which could do at some point, you would drop him personally, right?
Yeah.
But you probably don't think he'll be dropped. Is that
fair? I think he'll be forced into a back four as well.
He's such a fucking boring pick, isn't he, Connor Cody?
Yeah.
It really is. Like, it's just no frills. I'd rather go Femenia, I think, and at least have some fun with it. And he's not even in the Watford team yet. I saw people getting excited during the Andorra game because he had an attempted shinner overhead kick during the game. But I'd said I was impressed with Kilman against us game week two.
Yeah, Kilman's well. Coming on a lot now.
But I think you're right. Cody's the safe play. If you have to get a 4.5 Wolves defender, that's the way to go, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a shame about Newry. I really want him in the team.
Well, I think everybody did in pre-season, particularly as you are playing, obviously, the three at the back. There is a theory knocking about, Bradley, that now you've got, on paper, easier fixtures coming up, that Ait Nouri may come in for Marcel. Any thoughts on that?
I hope so. But I think it's unlikely. I think he's performed okay. But if we're playing three at the back, I want my left wing back to contribute to the attack. And Markel's got no ability going forward whatsoever. He just gets so far, he'll stop and come back. I mean, if he gets stuck, he'll either smash the ball into the box with no quality or just pass back.
He would be of no interest to you, no?
No, he's just transfer waiting to happen. I can't believe how many questions I've had about him.
Well, hopefully that will clear it up now, mate. You can just copy him the thread to the tweet for this podcast, mate. What about Semedo, though? He's worth the extra, isn't he?
I don't think he's worth that much, to be honest. I don't think his attacking play is very good.
Okay.
I mean, he's three seasons at Barca. He got like 2 goals and 2 assists. That was it. Playing for Barcelona. He's got one goal, 1 assist for us, but if you watch him going forward, his decision making when to cross and when he does actually put the cross in, I find to be pretty poor.
I think it's the excitement of the possible Wolverhampton Wanderers, Matt Doherty position.
No, that ain't happening. He'd have the attacking intelligence, I don't think.
What are you telling me that Matt Doherty does, mate?
Does for all.
You can have him back, mate. Are you on wildcard, Bradley?
Yeah.
Are you going to have any Wolves defence?
I might not, you know. I'm more interested in attack.
So is that because of the emotive side of it for you? We just think, I don't want one. I know they're going to frustrate me. Or do you think generally at the price points you're looking at, there are better options? Are there better other 4.5s, for example, that you're looking at rather than Wolves players?
I need to see what Bruno's going to do. It's back 3 or 4. Because if Ait Nouri come in the side, then I'll be all over that.
It's 4.4 at the moment.
Yeah, he's the one. He's the best player. If he got in the team, he is by far the best Wolves defender.
Stephen, you on wild card at the moment?
Yeah, I clicked it last week and forgot about it. So I'm done. I picked up Sarr. I changed my midfield is what I did, and I went big up front. I got a couple of 4-1s in the back, but I think I'm going to play 3-4-3 with Sarr, and then I kept Foster and Bachmann. Watford.
I was going to say, to clarify, you're talking about Ismail Assar, not the Wolverhampton Wanderers goalkeeper. Oh. Assar. You're talking about
the goalie. Yeah.
Oh, so you are going with the Wolves goalie?
No, I'm sorry. I'm going with Ismail
Assar. Any Wolves defensive for you at all, Stephen, or are you just ignoring them?
Oh, hell no. Ignoring them. Sorry, Bradley.
Interesting.
No, probably good for your health.
Let's talk Ismaïla Sarr then. Goal on the opening day. I was very impressed with him at Tottenham in game week 3. He's clearly your outstanding player. I think with respect, he will at some point go on and play for a so-called bigger team. I think that's an inevitability at some point in his career. 6 million, you've gone with him then. What's made you go for him?
Just the fact that he's going to be playing 90 minutes every week. I like his work rate. I like his ability down that flank. He seems to be just about everybody, you know, playing that left back position. I like his interplay with Emmanuel Dennis in the center. I think they work very well together. You know, again, it's still a Watford attacker, which does leave me a little suspect that, you know, is Watford going to continue to score? I know we didn't score, you know, against Spurs, but, you know, a couple of decent goals and, you know, who knows? So I'm keeping him now, but that obviously could change. There are some other cheaper midfielders that I wouldn't have a problem putting in and dropping him and just banking maybe $500,000 or, you know, point whatever. But right now he's going to start. He'll be one of my four midfielders going forward.
When we spoke in pre-season on Correspondent Week, you were quite negative about actually having Watford attackers. So I'm going to assume from that what you've seen in the three games has changed your mind. Or is it a case of Stevens?
Sorry. I think we've done a good job in the off-season bringing...
I've got you, mate. You talk.
We can hear you. I was about to say... I think we've done a very good job in the offseason bringing midfielders and attackers in. I mean, that's two positions that we had very late season. And now we got a plethora of attackers. We've got this brand new midfield that we have. I think I'm still living off the high of game week one with Dennis and Sarr both having solid weeks. But I'm surprised. I honestly am, because I thought I'd be more defensive minded, and we're not. I mean, they're still trying to play attacking football. And, you know, we're yet to secure a clean sheet in the Premier League. So, I mean, my thinking is sort of swung to the other side that, well, if our defense isn't going to be doing anything, we're going to have to score goals. And I like what I've seen with the midfield midfield three and our three up top. So, you know, we're not going to set the league on fire by any means. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I mean, if we can score two goals a game, I mean, that's huge for Watford. We just have not been known as a goal scoring team. But I think if they continue to do something like two a week, I think we're going to be good. We may give up three, but we're still going to be scoring.
Do you view Ismaïla Sarr as a short term pick because of the three fixtures you've got: Wolves, Norwich, Newcastle, maybe even the fourth if you add Leeds? Or are you looking at him as a long-term pick to say, do you know what, I'm going to stick with him. He's likely to be the talisman.
No, I am not going to buy into the talisman thing. He's only there for 3 or 4 weeks. I'll move him and probably end up changing my strategy and, you know, maybe, you know, going, I don't know. Well, he's not going to stay. He's not going to be a long-term guy. Can't do it.
Bradley, you've got a player at the same price who's getting a lot of attention, Adama Traore. Is he going in for you?
No.
Go on.
No, that would be a player. I'm a super striker. He's watching you. The team. It's enough when he plays for your team.
He's the promise of what we're going to see. A player who's comfortably out-punching even Raul Jimenez, despite 12 shots so far for Jimenez. He's comfortably out-punching even Jimenez on XG. But that, I think that's largely because of the two one-on-one chances against Leicester and Tottenham, which
I have looked at where he took his other shots from, and then pretty poor positions. That's probably why his XG is stacked.
Do you think it's a case that he's had these chances because, in theory, you've had tougher games? And actually, ironically, even though you're now coming into a brilliant run of 11 fixtures, actually, they might not be suitable for Traore.
The two big chances he got was through him actually running, making a run, which is different for Adama. The one pass was from Neves, which is a great pass. And then with one was Moutinho's pass through. I mean, I'm obviously playing a higher line, the better team. So So he's probably not going to get that against Watford.
Both of those chances came from the two teams respectively, Leicester and Tottenham. Leicester tried to play through you into a midfield area, and for some reason, Eric Dyer, who actually played quite well in the game, had a brain fart and tried to walk out with the ball and got dispossessed. So it was a case of teams coming onto you and then springing and actually counter-attacking on them. I just wonder against some of the teams coming up, if they're going to be a bit cuter and more aware of, oh, we can't lose the ball to Wolves in these areas. We'll play a bit safer because we know instantly you're going to look for Traore on the counter-attack. Now, Bradley's frozen. That's very good. Stephen, can you hear me?
I can.
We're having all sorts of Wi-Fi fun today. Any thoughts on Adama?
Yeah, I didn't catch anything you said.
It's all right. You stay there for a second, Bradley. Any thoughts yourself on Adama Traore, Stephen?
No, I still see him as a one-dimensional player. He's got speed. I think he lacks a little ball control. His crossing appears to have been better, but I started the season with Jimenez in the center, and I wasn't happy with the partnership. So right now, no Adama for me.
God, Bradley. To Traore, to close on him then, in terms of these games coming up, do you think they're suitable for him or not?
We've got the possibility to explode.
Do you think he will?
No, because I think in the final moment, especially through on goal, it's always his technique that lets you down. I think in my wild card at me, I do have Trincao.
Okay, so you prefer him over Traore then?
Yeah.
Go on, explain why.
Just from when I've watched him play, like the way he's coming inside, he's going to, I mean, like I think I said in pre-season, like where he's taking his shot are much better because he should have hit the target against Man United. And he had another chance. I forgot exactly where it was took from, but I think he should have scored that one as well. Just the way he plays against, because these teams are going to be a bit deeper, the way he plays is more intricate and will come inside a lot and probably make a lot more chances as well. I like Trincao. He's getting a lot better quickly.
Who's he comparable for people who may not have seen him yet? Who would you say he's like comparable Mahrez to? I mean, that's a big comparison, Bradley.
If you watch this style of dribbling, like I was saying to my uncle, like people around, he like glides around the pitch with ease. He doesn't look fast, but he gets past players. And he, like what he did to Luke Shaw against Man United when his shot was cleared off the line, the way he just drives inside, and Wan-Bissaka cleared off the line. But
I feel like that was Fred, that not Luke Shaw, that he budged off.
Was
the
it
ball.
Fred?
I mean, they look alike in fairness, Bradley.
I just saw somebody hit the floor. Luke Shaw's done that before at Molineux, so I thought it was him.
I think it was Freddie brushed off the ball and he had the later chance, which I'm pretty sure I want to say Traore laid on for him in the second half and he just didn't hit it cleanly at all, did he?
Yeah.
It was a big chance as well.
No, he should have took a touch and smashed it.
So are you going Trincao and Jimenez then? Stephen's out and about in the world and the wilderness and it's your Wi-Fi keeps going on us, Bradley. You said, Stephen, you had Jimenez. Is he gone now then?
Yeah, he's gone. I got rid of him 2 weeks ago, I think. I think 2 weeks, and I got rid of him. I just wasn't happy. I thought Wolves would have a little bit more to start the season, and Jimenez didn't show me anything. The price was right at 7.5 to start the season, and, you know, maybe it's just going to take a little bit longer to come back from that injury or, you know, the new manager or, you know, I don't know what the other factors are, but I just wasn't impressed with what I saw.
Bradley, are you going Jimenez with Trincao?
No.
So no Raul Jimenez for you?
No.
Why? Because I know you love him.
Yeah, I think he just needs like a tap in first. I need to see him like just get a tap in or something. He's had loads of shots, but he's like Traore, the positions he's took the shots are pretty terrible. I mean, he's only got one shot on target.
I spoke about in the game that we had against each other, there was a moment at the back post where I thought he was going to go and win the header. And he took a couple of steps backwards to shape to volley it instead. And I just don't think he would have done that before, obviously, the horrendous collision that he suffered last year. Can there be anything in that where he's conscious of going in for things aerially and hesitating? And that's why you're saying, oh, okay, I need him to get that first goal first. I can see Bradley's frozen again. And I'm just chatting gibberish in the hope that he'll come back. There's Bradley, he's back. Your
way going on with mine.
It's you, Bradley. It's all you. It's all you and your wife.
I don't know. Never played up this bad ever.
Yeah. Just don't move, mate. Are you conscious that you might be hesitating on things?
I just think he's too eager to score. I think he's playing with a bit of desperation sometimes, the way he's striking the shot. I mean, like, what he once told him in the box, I forgot what game, I mean, he might be Man United, but he like slipped as he went through with no composure.
I think a lot of people, myself included, and admittedly I've got other issues in the team now and I'm not on wildcard. I think a lot of people had highlighted, right, start with Danny Ings, good three fixtures. You've got three tough fixtures. Then you've got this brilliant run, 4-14. Is there any reason not to make that transfer right now, Ings to Jimenez, if people have got the luxury to do it?
If you've got the luxury, I think the goals will come. And the thing with Jimenez as well is his hold-up play is still good. Like somebody like Trincao, like I said earlier, is going to benefit off him. But he just needs that tap in or a penalty. Something like that first, for me anyway, personally.
I'm a little bit torn on it because I said I'm concerned that he's being hesitant, but also on what I've seen so far, I agree with you. I think someone's in for a slap soon. And I know that if they are, he's going to be heavily involved, Raul Jimenez. Whereas actually, I'm not convinced that Trincao or Adama Traore necessarily will be. But if you go and beat someone 3-0, I'd be amazed if there's nothing in it for Jimenez, for example.
Yeah, he'll have at least one goal and probably one assist off it.
He also never feels like a player that's going to go off and get two or three in a game, though, in fairness. I've always had that feeling about him. He's just consistent and brilliant, isn't he, Raul Jimenez?
No, he just missed the consistent. Yeah. That's what you want, really, in a FPL player.
Absolutely. What's your thoughts on Emmanuel Dennis, Stephen? Because this one's kind of come a little bit unexpected from pre-season. I certainly thought that Cucho would probably start. Obviously, came on against Villa and got that fantastic goal. Dennis is up to 5.2 now, and he's basically the only forward under 5.5 million that is playing. Did you give any consideration to having him in your squad at the moment?
I think earlier in the year I had Cucho in that position as opposed to Dennis. I've been quite surprised at how well he's played. We knew he had the skill coming in, but we also had heard that he'd had some, you know, issues with either a manager or just a poor work ethic, injury, whatever. But, you know, maybe Cisco's getting the best out of him right now, and he's rewarding by continuing to put him up front. I know King played against Palace, I think it was. Not Palace. That was the AFL game. But I think Dennis is our starter for right now. What? Okay. Yeah, I think Dennis is the starter until – he just hits a run where he doesn't look like scoring again. I think you'll see King go in, but it's nice to have that luxury. But for now, yeah, I think Dennis is our man up front.
So obviously, I don't know if it was because it was against Tottenham and you kind of retreated into a 4-5-1 without the ball. Obviously, Dennis played left for the first hour, then went up front later on till Josh King went off. I just wonder if he's going to end up in a wide position now, Dennis, once Josh King's available and in the team. But at 5.2, I'll tell you what I was impressed with him, Stephen. He looks a good player, actually, Dennis. He gave us problems, particularly in the first half of the game. Bradley, I take it no Watford players for you at the moment in this wild card?
The Batman's still sitting there.
So you got Batman. So you both got Batman. Interesting.
Might get rid of him.
I'm going to let you two both go before the Wi-Fi completely crashes on us, I think. Stephen, let's have a prediction before we finish for the game on Saturday. Over to you, my friend. Give us a correct score prediction.
All right. Well, nothing against Bradley, but I want Watford to win 1-0 just because of my brother.
And if anyone can translate that, I'd be very appreciative because I have no idea what Stephen just said. Bradley, prediction for you, mate.
1-0. We'll win 1-0 instead this time.
1-0 Wolves. Stephen, try again because we didn't hear anything you said, unfortunately, mate.
I was trying to say that I hope it's going to be a 1-0 for Watford because my brother-in-law, Adam, is a huge Wolves fan. So, obviously, I got to pull for my squad, 1-0 Watford.
We got 1-0 Watford, 1-0 Wolves, and yet you're both saying don't get the defences. Right, cool. Thanks for that, lads. Absolute pleasure. I am going to go for 1-1. I think it'll be close. I think you'll probably do okay in the next few fixtures. I mean, Norwich and Newcastle afterwards is very encouraging for you, Stephen. And that fixture run for you, Bradley, I want some of it. I think I'm going to start with Jose Sarr this week. I think I'm likely to get him in, and I'll reassess after the weekend.
I think he's good for Sky. I think his price is nice for Sky.
Who, Jose Sarr?
Mm.
He might be in my team for that as
he's
well.
He's in mine, isn't he?
As we may have covered on yesterday's podcast, but as we pre-recorded this on Tuesday, I don't know if I've spoken about that or not as yet. Right, thanks very much, guys. Much appreciated. Thank you to Stephen and Bradley. Next week's Clash of the Correspondent. Good Wi-Fi, fingers crossed, will be FPL Singo and Aaron Lager previewing Brighton against Leicester in game week 5. I'll be streaming on YouTube at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and then again ahead of the game week 4 deadline at 10 a.m. UK time on YouTube. Other than that, thank you very much for your time, Stephen and Bradley. Cue music, please, Manchild.
The Fantasy Football Show.